welcome to episode 111 of
Brutal Battle, right? It's been so long since I've been on.
Brutal Battle, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
This podcast thing, it's a beer podcast.
Yeah.
You may have heard of it. You may have been on it.
It's been so long, it feels like another lifetime.
It has. It's been a long time, and that's Mark.
I am back.
Mark, it's been what? How many months now? Like 8 months? 6 months?
Yes, yeah, I'd say it's like eight months at this point.
Yeah. Wow.
You wanted people with knowledge, and then when you ran out of them, you scraped the bottom of the barrel.
I'm like, come on back, Mark. Yeah. We need some entertainment factor, and it's you.
I'm like at the bottom of the beer, all the backwash.
The dregs, as people call it, all that swill. The yeast, you're down there with the yeast.
Yeah. So I'm a yeast infection, is what.
You could be.
Awesome.
You could be. Well, it is that time to take care of it right off the bat. It is hop knowledge.
You still do this, too.
Yes. I know you missed
it. Have you run out of hops?
No, we're still going. We're on Saphir hops, or sometimes referred to as Sapphire hops. It's said a few different ways. It was bred from Hops Research Institute in Hull, Germany. It's a cross between two of their newer varieties from the program that they run. The varieties they blended were numbers. It's 83-17-20 and 80-56-6, whatever. Someone out there might know what that means. It was created around the same time as Opal hops and Smaragd hops.
Oh.
I ain't even heard of those ones. Ugh. Opal I've heard of.
Well, how many have you really heard of?
Actually, you'd be surprised. I've heard of a decent amount of them. Well, because a lot of the breweries are starting to put more hops on the labels.
Oh, okay.
And say, oh, it was brewed with these hops. Or sometimes just saying, you know, here's a single hop beer. It's with Warrior Hop or Nugget or, you know, Simcoe, whatever. So people become, you know, familiar with it that way. So it was made a long time with those. They're all kind of noble type variety hops. It's compared a lot of the times, the Saphir, to Hallertau Mittelfrü. Which is closely associated with German-style beers and has been a trademark of the German-style lager for some time. Bitterness is naturally very low with this hop, and the real contribution from the hop is on the aroma side of things. It brings a sweet citrus bouquet to the pot or fermentation tank. It can be used throughout the brewing process, so whatever you want it for, you can use it for. A few examples of beers that use the Saphir or Saphir. Victory Brewing had done a Saphir Belgian Strong Ale, which sounds interesting. And here's one I've actually had by Schneiderweiss. It was a collaboration between them and Brooklyn Brewing. It was their Schneider Brooklyner Hopfenweiss.
Okay.
Have you had it?
I don't think so. I remember that name.
I've had that like years ago, and that was my first introduction to having like a wheat beer that was really hopped.
Okay.
And it was delicious. Like, think about like a typical Belgian style wheat beer. It's got that Belgian yeast aspect. It's got the banana flavors. It's got that lemon peel. And then add in like a nice citrusy brightness from hops. Like, you know, like some orange in there and a little bit of grapefruit. And it's an awesome beer.
Sounds good.
So,
thanks for
Saphir.
Saving me some. Jerk.
Well, I'm going to open up a beer that we have as a starter here. And while I do that and pour a little bit in our small taster glasses, Mark, because it's a celebration because you're back.
Celebration.
Massive celebration. Why don't you tell us what you've been drinking and, you know, where you've been drinking, what you've been drinking, all that. Because when you were last on, you were starting to get a bit into, like, hoppier stuff. You're dipping your toes into it.
Dipping my big toe. I will say now that I go to a liquor store, I don't really need to text you for advice on what to buy. I think I can usually handle
that.
I say, yeah.
Miss it.
But,
you know, here it comes.
Those are the days. Ooh.
Ooh. Oh. Continue.
But let's see. Obviously, Double Duck Pin. I would say that's my favorite beer right now.
Which was on the show recently and did extremely well.
For that jerk that gave it a 6.
Yeah, Matt.
He doesn't like foul language, so I'm just going to use jerk.
No, you can call Matt an ass if you want. Hoser. Although I would have to disagree with you, because I quite like Matt. He just, I think he had a...
He failed miserably at...
He had a lack of clarity at that moment, in my opinion. So, because that's an, I mean, excellent beer.
Yeah.
So you've been drinking that. And that's a, you know, a double IPA, Imperial IPA, however you want to put it. So you've been really jumping into the hops.
Oh, sure. I mean, I would say IPAs have taken over stouts as my favorite.
Oh, really?
But, you know, still enjoy me some stouts. I had a stout at Duclaw recently. Oh, was it fish? It's the
Naked Fish
stout. That was good.
Chocolate raspberry stout.
They had a lot of stouts on tap, and she just kept listening off, and at some point they all started to meld together, and I'm like, oh, all right.
But
I also had their X10, which is the Cantaloupe Saison. That was a very interesting beer.
I can imagine, and I remember when an email came out saying, oh, we got this, you know, our next Exile Series beer, a Cantaloupe Saison, and I was like, I mean, I would imagine that being very refreshing and crisp.
That's
and
a good
but
way to describe it.
It's kind of weird, though.
Yeah, I don't think of cantaloupe when I think of strong flavors. And,
right.
You know, but it was, and it...
Huh.
There's, like, the spaghetti stout we had.
Yeah.
Like, there was no way that you tasted the spaghetti. I felt like that was what was going to happen with the cantaloupe.
But the cantaloupe was, but like,
the cantaloupe was the number one flavor that was pronounced. Okay. So, I would say you need to try it.
Okay.
For sure.
But is it something you feel like you could have more than one of?
In terms of, like, would I buy a six-pack? No. But could I drink it, like, you know, if you had one on the table, could I drink it again? Sure.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So, and it's like
sixer or something, yeah.
If you're choosing, you'd be like, I can do one of these, right. And then I'm going to move to something else. And
definitely that's a weather beer. Like, I wouldn't want it when it's, you know, mid-January.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you've been, I mean, I've seen a massive change in you since you first came on the show. Because I feel like when you first came on, you really didn't know a whole lot about beer. And you, I think, were kind of just starting to get into stouts at that point.
Yeah.
And you were pretty much just like, you can probably keep the hops away from me.
Yeah.
So your journey's been pretty quick.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Quicker than mine ever was. For me to get into, like, super hoppy beers, I think it took me, like...
But you didn't have someone to, you
that's
know.
True.
I've had you and Kyle and
yeah.
Plenty of other... Well, not plenty, just you and Kyle. Everyone else is like, Guinness is my favorite stout. And nothing wrong with Guinness, but I'm like, you know, there's other ones out there. And, like, what's your favorite? I'm like, 1050's pretty good. And they're like... What's that? And then I explain it to them, and I'm like, this is not going to taste like Guinness, though.
No.
You know, expect a high alcohol content.
Yeah, so.
Definitely something you can't just jump into.
Hell no. Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that, like, I didn't have any sort of, like, podcasts I could listen to or anything like that, because I've been, like, some of the changes that I've had in what I drink have been because I do listen to other beer podcasts, and it makes me like, oh, that sounds interesting. I want to try that. And it also comes down to who are you hanging around with, because
right.
Peer, I wouldn't say peer pressure, but peer recommendation kind of will a lot of times play into things, because you're less likely in craft beer to just go out on your own and be like, oh, I'm just going to try this and try that when you don't know much about it.
Right.
But if you have a friend who's like, hey, I had this and it's really good, you feel like it's safe. Scary.
If you came in and you're like, oh, I'm going to try craft beer. Like, the first time I did that, I grabbed Sam Adams. And there's nothing wrong with Sam Adams.
Sam Adams, good
but,
stuff.
You know, that was the only thing that I saw that was familiar to
right,
me.
Right.
So,
well, I've had people who I talk to who are like, I'm thinking about I want to get into craft beer. I hear a lot about IPAs. I think I'm going to go with one of those. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe you can, but... Just start with something easier first just to see
right.
If you're cool. Because I feel like a lot of people make the mistake of jumping straight to an IPA. Your palate can't handle it.
Right.
And then thinking, oh my God, this is what craft beer is about? No, I'm done.
Your palate changes so much over time if you give it time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's there's so many beers that you gave me that I'm sure were great that I don't even remember because, you know, I couldn't explain what I was drinking at the
right.
time.
Right.
There was that, was it a unicorn?
Ninja versus Unicorn by Pipeworks.
Yeah. It's been a while, you know.
That beer is awesome.
Yeah.
I should
but
try
it. I don't remember it. Like, I'm starting to now remember beers. Like, the past, the beers that you gave me, I don't, they're lost in my head. That's why I thought Untappd would be good.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, but I can't even remember these beers to say that I drank them. Yeah. Or if somebody asked me what it tasted like, it's good. I didn't spit it out, but then do I spit out any beer? Except for that crappy, what is it, the vanilla,
Vanilla, I don't know.
Is it Sarah? Not Sarah.
Oh.
I can't think of it.
I have no idea. Well.
You had it and you gave it to me. It was an organic one that you gave to me.
Oh, was it Peak Organic?
Yeah, Peak.
It was their Nut Brown.
I popped that open and dumped it out.
No. Sorry
Maybe
about that.
Maybe I used it in something, but.
My bad.
Eh, that's okay.
Well, the beer that I opened up for us to celebrate Mark's return with is yet another of the Game of Thrones series from Omegang, Brewery Omegang, and is the Valar Morghulis, which I've been holding on to because I wanted to make sure I had it with Mark on the show.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And you have or have not tried this
I
yet?
Have not okay. tried this. I did Good. See it at, it was on tap at Wine World when okay. I went to get, oh, that was the other beer that I had. Well, it was Alpine, the Super IPA.
The Super IPA was collaboration with New Belgium and Alpine Brewing.
That was a very good that beer. I would really, recommend that to anyone who likes,
That was super tasty. I feel like a lot of Alpine's influence came through in that beer, because they do some really bright, cool, like awesome West Coast IPA style beers. So we have the Valar Morghulis. It's a double, like a Belgian double style. So it's dark, you know, it's got like, it's very red, kind of hard to see through, but it's got like a real nice reddish brown aspect to it. It's got a decent head to it when I poured it out, very carbonated.
Smells really good.
I smell a lot of cherry notes on there. I smell like, it smells sugary too.
Yeah.
Smell a little bit of
burnt
like,
sugar.
Yeah, burnt sugar, definitely. I smell a little bit of a citrusy aspect.
So like what does a double ale usually have in it? A double? Is it double or doubled? Double.
It's D-U-B-B-E-L, double. So over there in Belgium, they may say double, but people just say double over here. But it's darker than what people would think of Belgian ales.
Okay.
Usually people would be like, oh, it's a Belgian ale. Well, that's usually with
lighter malts. Do you think Jean-Claude Van Damme drinks
double
ales? He's from Belgium.
Oh, is he?
He's the muscle from Russell's, man.
I know. I don't know a whole lot about Jean-Claude
Van Damme. That's okay.
I know you're like a massive fan of Van Damme, but, you know, I feel like I probably shouldn't even try to talk about him because I might offend you.
Well, let's, like, I'm not like, oh, this guy, you know. I did watch his reality show that was only in the UK.
I didn't even know he had a reality show. No clue.
And he's as crazy as you would think, so.
Okay. I actually went in and tasted this, but before that...
Sweet.
Yeah. It's got a decent sweetness to it, but it's also very drying at the end. And I was getting a little bit of a citrusy aspect on the note in addition to that burnt sugar and the cherry. And I get that in the flavor. It's kind of like a lemon zest in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting like lemon zest. I'm getting like a nice bright cherry note. I'm getting a nice kind of a little bit of a raisiny sweetness.
It's getting nutty. I don't know
There is a nutty aspect to it. Mm. And you can get that with some of these, like, Belgian-style darker beers.
I think this
beers.
Is very good.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
And for looking darker, most people look and be like, oh, that's probably going to be a little more cloying. It's really not. I feel like a lot of the flavor kind of falls off your palate.
The alcohol's hidden well. I get a little bit in the back of the throat with the alcohol, but... What 8%.
Is it? It's 8? Yeah, it doesn't taste like 8. It tastes like maybe 7.
Yeah. But this I get a little burning sensation in the back, but hidden very well.
Yeah, the Valar Morghulis, it has the coin on it that Arya Stark got from Jaqen H'ghar, so...
Yes.
If anyone doesn't know what that means, you need to check out Game of Thrones, because you're missing out. So, there's some text on here, but I don't know. I don't know if it really... Well, I'll read it. When confronted with the most feared saying in High Valyrian, take a sip and choose your words wisely, for all men must die, and all men must serve, enjoy rich aromas of caramel and ripe fruit.
Caramel, burnt sugar.
Yeah, there you go. With deep flavors of malty sweetness and fruity esters. I think we got kind of all of it. And then it basically tells you to pour it slowly because they want you to leave the yeast in the bottom. So...
Just like me, hanging out in the bottom of the barrel. The bottom of the bottle.
Leave it down there.
I'm starting to, as I sip it a little bit more, I'm starting to, when I just let it sit and I don't take a sip for a while, I'm starting to feel the alcohol in my mouth a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of tingling a little, heating up a tad. Yeah. But when you're drinking it, it's super easy to get down. And you don't perceive the alcohol. The flavors are nice. And like I said, it kind of falls off your palate. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I feel like it sets you up to just go right back in for another sip.
Yeah, for sure.
And because it's 8% and it's a 22-ounce bottle, if someone were to try to drink it themselves, I feel like they could accidentally drink it pretty fast.
I might get sick of it after a while. I don't think I could finish it. I think I'd get sick to my stomach before that happened. Just the sweetness is just, it's too much. Like, this is a good beer for what it is. Not a six, certainly not something you'd want to buy a six-pack of.
No.
Like, hey, guys.
I don't think it's anything I'd go after again, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah. Certainly a step up from their Red Ale.
Yeah.
Because that was...
The Fire and Blood, you mean?
Yeah, they had the dragons. Hits, then a miss, then another. I would say another hit with...
Because they did the Blonde. The Blonde was really good for being a Blonde. Well, that one was really limited release. And then they learned their lesson. They're like, well, we can sell a lot because people are all into Game of Thrones.
Right.
So then for the second one, which was the Take the Black Stout, which is a Belgian-style stout, they did a much larger release. And that was really good. I remember that being really good. We had it on the show, so if people, you want to go back, find one of the old episodes on there. And the Blonde was, too. I tried that with Kyle.
Oh, okay.
And then... They had the Fire and Blood, which was like a... It was a red ale with chilies in it. It had, like, peppers. We weren't big on that. That one has a lot of sweetness, like a cloying sweetness in it. I feel like they did a much better job with this one, like, kind of dialing back that cloying sweet aspect. So, this is a really easy beer. So carbonated.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it might give me gas.
I can already feel it in my stomach.
You feel it like bubbling up in your tummy. It's gonna like
erupt
at some point. Yeah.
That the Saison was very carbonated. Maybe fruity beers.
The cantaloupe Saison?
Yeah. Seem to be highly carbonated.
Well, I don't know. And there's a guy that I want to get on who knows a lot of the science behind brewing. He does home brewing and he has looked into a lot of the scientific aspects of brewing beer, and I want to try to get him on. His name's Oliver Gray. Really nice guy. Really super friggin' knowledgeable.
Oh, okay.
I just think it'd be cool to have him come on and
maybe
talk
there's
to
something to fruit and carbonation that seemed to be a...
Well, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the sugars. Like, how much sugar do you have in there, and how much... Like, how active is the yeast that you're using, and how long do you let it continue? Because yeast eats sugar and spits out alcohol and carbon dioxide. Okay. So
look at this guy, Bill Nye over here.
I know a little bit. I did one batch of homebrew, and that's how I know some of this, because that...
Like, this is terrible.
That info was on there, so...
See those books, like the homebrewing kits... Mm-hmm. Like, they have books and stuff like that. That might be interesting to pick up and just read.
They have some small ones and they have some massive ones.
Yeah, like the pocket guides. I've seen those.
And there was one, a lot of people recommend it. It was by, like, Garrett Oliver, who's the head brewer for Brooklyn Brewing, did one called, like, The Brewer's Table or something like that. And his focus is a lot on, like, food and beer pairings, which I think would be really cool. Yeah. So, awesome stuff.
Awesome sauce.
Well, we've talked a little bit. We've got caught up a tad, and guess what time it is?
It's time to taste.
Yeah, so you might want to take a little bit of water, rinse out, and be ready for the mystery beers A and B.
Douche my mouth a bit.
Yeah, go ahead, douche that mouth. So we have A. A is very light looking.
Yes.
Actually, I must have gotten the bottom of the bottle because mine's significantly hazier. It's very cloudy, and yours is... I can see through it.
Yeah, but mine definitely has a haze to it, for sure.
But it's like a very orangey yellow.
Yes.
It's got a significant white head to it.
Urine, I would say. Dehydrated. Someone who is very dehydrated.
It's more orange than that, I would say, but...
Mm-hmm. I disagree. I'm going to go with... that's on my color wheel,
okay? Cool.
Okay. Urine.
hey, if that's what you think, then that's fine.
Okay.
And then B is very dark, has almost no, basically no head to it.
Yeah, that's displeasing to me.
Really? Well, you don't know. You haven't smelled it yet. But it's got like a reddish tinge to it. It's very brown, red. It looks interesting. You never know. When you do swirl it up a little bit, you get a tan head that does.
When you give it a swirly.
Yeah. When you give it that swirly.
Yeah.
All right. Do you remember how to do this?
You spin it, you swirl it, and then you sniff it.
Ooh.
That dude. Sounds strange.
Smell A.
Something I would do in a bedroom.
Nice. What do you smell out there?
Like, my instant impression is that someone farted in this cup.
What?
I...
For what reason?
It's...
I think it smells super lemony.
I get the lemon now, but there's something very unpleasant about it.
Well, it
like
has...
Like a rotten lemon or something.
Okay. I could see that it's got a little bit of kind of like a fermenting
Kyle's
aspect.
Dirty dish rag? This doesn't, but I just wanted to bring that up.
You've said the dirty dish rag on the show before too, so
just have to, but it's Kyle's. I don't want to take credit.
I can see where you're getting a little bit of the fermented fruit.
That is it, like it's like cider, like a very
okay. But I get a bunch of bright lemon, like lemon peel, and a little bit of the actual lemon fruit.
I get it, but the
it smells good. There's a little orange in there too.
Fermentation is just—it's very unappealing to me.
There's some orange in there. There's a crackery, bready aspect.
So you have an orange, a cracker, and a lemon just mashed up in here.
It's got a smell like it's potentially like a saison or just like a wheat style beer.
I mean, I get the fruit that the citrus aspect of it for sure.
It's definitely got a saison-y yeast nose to it, in my opinion. And usually with a lot of saisons, I'll get kind of the same crackery, bready aspect on the nose as well. So I'm thinking this is some sort of saison, but it smells really like you can go ahead.
Enjoy the smell.
I do.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but.
It's refreshing.
If someone that hadn't smelled this before and smelled this would be like, wow, what? Like, I don't know if they would get that lemon right off the bat. Right. They would get the foul odor that comes with it.
I can see that. I'm getting a little bit of a bubblegum undertone on the nose as well when I keep sniffing it. Like a little bit of like a straight up bubblegum.
Fruit is where we're going to go with this.
Well, you go ahead and sip. I just think the nose is very fresh. It's very refreshing just to smell it. It's got that aspect to it. Is it real dry? I have a feeling it might be.
It's dry and it's not very much carbonated. It's very strange to me.
Ooh.
Typically when you get a dry beer, there's that strong carbonate, like that sort of champagne, like strong carbonation to it.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't with this.
I think this is a saison, is what it tastes like to me. Because it's got that same crackery, bready taste. It's definitely got that kind of lemon peel. And it's got the bitterness that you would get from lemon peel. Like, if you actually bit a lemon peel without any of the fruit, there'd be this exact type of bitterness. Which is very, like, tannic. Like, to best describe it, a lot of people don't necessarily know what tannic means. If whenever you eat a banana, you know, like, when you'll get, like, a string that comes off of it. From
right,
the peel,
right, right.
If you would eat that, like that bitter, that bitterness is.
This is very bitter, and I dislike it. Now, I don't hate it, but I feel like you're enjoying it.
I'm okay with it. I think the bitterness is something you have to wrestle with a bit.
Like, I don't know.
But I do like. There's some orangey notes in there too. I do like. That saison-y yeast aspect.
I can't drink it
anymore.
Oh,
you're done.
I'm done.
Okay.
I like it's just it's not my cup of tea. I can understand why someone might like it, but my mouth tastes like
there's a
Band-Aid. Like
I could see that. It's
that Band-Aid medicinal like
right. As I keep sipping on it,
citrus
I'm...
like cleaner. Like I feel like somebody kind of. Let's wash in the floor and just...
like put some Pine Sol in
there. Yeah, and then just drained it right into the cup. Yeah.
It's the more I drink it, the more that bitterness is turning into a medicinal type finish. So I think you're definitely right.
Like when I like if I drank it and let it go down my back, my throat instantly, it's not so bad. But when I let it wash around my mouth a bit, it's I don't like it at all.
Whereas, you know, the Game of Thrones beer just kind of washes off your tongue.
Right.
This one is cloying,
sticking around. Yes. And,
and it's the bitterness mainly. I do get
and
a little bit.
You think that's a saison?
Yeah, I think it's something interesting. A saison or something, or a, you know, wheat style, whatever. But yeah, saison. But
it's saison very is made with fruit. That's why it's a saison.
No, saison is like a what they call farmhouse style. It's a particular type of yeast that was used back in Europe by farmers, and it was kind of like whatever. And they would make the beer with kind of whatever was around, and it was
and
a light
would
style.
Probably be around.
Yeah, a lot of the time, yes. So fruity aspects to it, but along with that lingering bitterness, I do get some lingering citrusy notes as well.
Right.
But the bitterness is so strong, so it's tough.
Like I don't think the alcohol content can't be high in this.
I don't know.
Six maybe?
I don't know.
And for a beer that doesn't taste that good and has a small, like a low alcohol content, it pass.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and start smelling on the darker one, B. Ooh. I smell something.
I spinned it, and it's like I was up here and I smelled something.
What do you smell?
Oh, I smell.
I know what I smell right off the bat.
Coffee, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that is coffee. Like, I don't smell anything. Well, milk, maybe? Like a milkish coffee?
There is a milky aspect. I smell like a little bit of like a milk chocolate under the coffee.
Yeah, that's like, it's like...
It has a lactic
like a
quality.
Coffee ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because it does have kind of like a creamy quality on the nose as well.
I hope the smell is the same as the taste. To get
good.
Me away from that first.
It smells really good to me. I get a little bit of like a crackery, like a honey, like a graham cracker type
that,
nose.
That is just.
It smells really coffee
that,
though.
Yeah. And which means anything that has a coffee smell, even people who don't like to drink coffee usually like the smell of coffee.
Yeah, it smells great.
This is would be right up somebody's alley.
Yeah, even when I do drink coffee, but even when I didn't drink coffee, I was always like, I love the smell of it.
Beer is the reason I started drinking coffee, as strange
really?
As that sounds.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's not strange.
And now, like, I drink coffee black. I don't think if I started drinking coffee, I could drink it black if I hadn't started with, like, coffee stouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange way to go about it, but yeah.
I think, well, and that, the same thing happened to me, because I was big into beer, and then I got into coffee, and I tried coffee with, like, creamer and sugar at first, and I'm just like, no, man, I want to taste the beans. I want to taste, like, those, like, deep, dark, roasty notes.
The darker the roast, the better.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And, well, I have some organic Sumatran at home. That's just that
sounds good.
Yeah, it's great too.
Maybe we'll have to swap some coffee beans or something.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, go ahead and let's start trying this. Pause. Mm. Smells great. Ooh, a lot of coffee.
Yeah, a lot of coffee, but I get that milk smoothness that's with milk stouts, which
I get a little bit of that kind of sunflower seed husk aspect that I get on some beers.
Right.
But it's very fleeting to me, and I think why I'm getting that is the trailing end of the coffee note mixing with the malt.
Yeah. This is a great beer. The only thing I don't like about milks, if this is, it has it's very flat, and this kind of has that flatness that...
There's not a ton of carbonation.
Yeah, that's usually what you get from milk stouts, right?
You know, I don't know.
Now, I remember we had that Left Coast, what was it?
Left Hand?
No, yeah, was
milk
it?
Stout?
No, I've had that before, but it was the mint chocolate stout from
Flying Dog.
And that was good, but it had a bit of flat, and like there wasn't as much carbonation. I mean, I'm sure that's what they're going for here.
Here's where I'm at with this one. I like the coffee, but I feel like it's mainly just coffee.
Right.
And I feel like I'd like maybe a little more intricacy in this beer.
There's not...
Some more layers.
There's not any of the flavors going on. The coffee just overpowers everything.
It's kind of like coffee water.
Good.
It's like coffee water, which isn't bad because the coffee is done very well.
So if it's strong, is it maybe something like espresso type
yeah, maybe.
Coffee?
Mm-hmm. Because
the only coffee that I can think of is Morning Glory, but you've had that. Not that you couldn't have it again, but yeah, this isn't it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
That has more carbonation.
And the finish is weak. You know, like, all it is like dyed down coffee flavors that are kind of watery, because it starts and it's just like coffee. It's bold, it's robust, it's roasty, and then it just devolves into like
Folgers coffee.
It's finishing like a real watered down coffee, like a tea, like a coffee tea.
Right.
Basically. And
not much, like, I don't taste much alcohol, and usually stouts are up there with an alcohol content.
Oh, I don't think I would it's say a stout. This is,
oh, you don't think it's
a, I mean, I hope it's not a stout.
What would you think it is?
It doesn't look like a stout. A it doesn't have a body like a stout. I mean, the mouthfeel is so...
Porter?
I mean...
I'm not good with color, so it's could like, be when I see that, what's your guess on what type of?
I could see it being some sort of like coffee brown ale.
Oh, okay.
You know, something like that. Definitely, I mean, yeah, maybe with some oatmeal added, and that's where you could get that kind of creaminess, because it adds extra like lipids, proteins to it.
I think it gives it like a creamier. I'm going to go with the coffee milk stout. I don't know anything, that's what I'm going to say.
That's fine.
I mean, I'm going to say it has like 5% alcohol or 6% alcohol. These both had, neither of these have a lot of alcohol in it.
People are wrong all the time on this show, and that includes me. You know, I'm wrong from time to time. I'm sure. Actually probably wrong more than from time to time.
Well, you think this is a Saison, so.
Yeah, I do. Oh. I'm going back to A. You don't necessarily have to.
I'm not going back to A. I'm putting A to bed.
A really, to me, tastes like legitimately just biting into a whole lemon, like right through that peel.
And is that good to you?
Yes and no, because the bitterness, if the bitterness was dialed back a little bit, yes, it would be really good. But the bitterness is very significant.
There's just too much funk.
It's tough.
There's too much funk in that beer for me. And it stays with you.
It does have a little bit of a funkiness to it. You're right. And that would indicate to me potentially Brettanomyces in there, but I'm not. Yeah, maybe it could be Brettanomyces. Like a wild fermentation. I don't know. But the thing that just dominates everything in it is the bitterness. So it's, I don't know.
I got my numbers.
Okay, so for A, where do you
want? I don't even need to talk. Sorry, it's just not my beer. If you like it, great. If you don't, great.
I recognize there are a decent amount of layers to it.
Right.
I did say that the bitterness dominates, but after that, there are other layers.
It's like, oh, here's a bunch of layers, but we're just going to take crap on top of it now. Here you go. It'd be like if this the coffee stout, if, you know, all you taste is coffee. Well, if all you tasted was funk, is it still that good? I don't know.
I think there are enough merits to it, and I...
Give it a 3. Go ahead.
I know. Well, yes, you could figure out. You knew exactly where I was going
to
go.
Because you don't want to completely trash it.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I was between a 2 and a 3, okay. And honestly...
But since I gave it a crap number, you'll bump it up.
No, it's because I would finish this. I would definitely finish this, because I think it's interesting enough. I will have a little bit of a problem with that, you know, with that bitterness, but I can finish it.
Yeah.
And as you continue to drink, the bitterness should diminish flavor-wise. So, okay, so B. I got to taste B one more time. But do you know already?
Ah, man, that's a tough one. I'm between a 4 and a 5, but just it not having many layers, I'll give it a 4.
Okay. I was actually just going to give it a 2.
Wow.
I like it less than...
So you like it less than the Funkmaster over there.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because it's just coffee.
Okay.
I like the coffee because I like coffee, but then after that, it's like water, you know, it's got nothing behind it. It's just that coffee flavor. And, you know, when a beer's one note, I can't give it a higher rating than the beer that's not one note, even though that one of those notes is more dominating than the rest. So
can we agree that this is the best beer of the episode?
The Game of Thrones one? I think we can actually, because it's so easy to drink.
Yeah. And smells good and tastes good.
Yeah. Oh, Brewery Omegon. Good job. All right. Well, I need to calculate this out, don't I?
Two and three, right?
Yeah, 2 and a 3. So, yeah, so B is the winner with an overall of 3. A gets an overall of 2.
I don't think there are any winners in this episode.
Well, I was going to say we are because we had beers, but...
True.
You know. You can look at it either way. So, A, losing the episode with an overall of 2 is... Oh. It is Shuma Party. S-C-H-I-U-M-A. Shuma Party. It's a Saison aged in wine barrels.
Interesting.
Saison aged in wine barrels. It is 6.8% alcohol by volume. This is, I 6. believe...
6.8, that's hidden pretty well, being almost 7.
Okay, this is a collaboration beer. It's Stillwater Artisanal Ales, done with Omnipollo out of Stockholm, Sweden. Which I was actually, before we started recording, was telling you about a beer by Omnipollo.
They should stop collaborating with each other.
Also, Brewery De Molen. Wow, apparently that's where they did it.
Oh, okay.
The way this is written is so effed up.
I can see this as being like a European-type beer.
Okay, so it's brewed by Omnipollo and Stillwater, but it was done at Brewery De Molen's facility. So they weren't involved. Yeah, right? But,
we don't want you to do anything with us. We just want to use your facility. Is that okay?
Hey, can you just leave the door unlocked on the weekend and we'll come in and do our thing? Yeah, but Shuma Party is what it's called. So
let me see. The bottle's interesting.
The bottle's very interesting. It's just like a fuzzy white dot. And it doesn't even say the name of it where that is.
Yeah, and there's nothing in terms of ingredients at all.
No.
That's unfortunate.
But it says Saison Agent Wine.
Oh, yeah,
barrels.
There it is. Ingredients. Funk.
Doesn't say funk.
No, I'm
but,
kidding.
Yeah. All right, so B, the overall winner of the episode with a 3 is... Oh! Brewer's Arts Zeke's Coffee Porter. You were right about Porter. You called Porter, didn't you?
Interesting, because I've wanted to try this beer, and I have. And it's kind of a disappointment.
It's only the coffee, man. 6% alcohol.
Zeke's, you know.
I will tell you, it's something I've said numerous times. I do not like Brewer's Art beers canned and bottled. I like their beer at the brew pub. Okay. Yes. Their stuff in kegs and that's actually brewed by Volker Stewart at Brewer's Art is good beer. This stuff that's contracted through Sly Fox out of Pennsylvania, which I'm assuming this is as well. No, this one's actually, it's by Brewer's Art, but it's in Westminster. So it's not done in Baltimore. Different facility, but...
Still in there. It's definitely a Maryland beer. Let me see it.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Because my ex-coworker loved Zeke's coffee. Like, that's all he drank, and he was a coffee snob.
Well, the coffee's good.
And the coffee is good, but...
It's just not integrated into the beer well. There's just nothing around that beer. Or, I'm sorry, there's nothing around that coffee in the beer to round things out. To make it more interesting than just like, it's coffee. Yeah. But good coffee. I mean, Zeke's
6%. Good coffee. I think I got that right.
Yeah, 6, man.
5 or 6%.
You were more on it than you thought.
Doing all right, people.
I like the coffee.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
I wonder if I had this... Without it being blind, if I would have liked it better because of
you
the
knew
name
what it was.
On it.
Probably.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
And then I didn't buy a 6-pack of it.
Yeah,
because
right.
I really thought about it before I got that Fubark barrel aged. So.
So, it's a good thing you come on this show because
the Fubark is better than this.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a good thing you come on the show because then you get to try things and then you know either get that or don't get that.
But things to avoid.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark is going to be sticking around for at least another episode or two.
Something like that, yeah.
We're going to see where it goes. This is a recording session as we typically do. So stick around for next week when we'll have some interesting topics. We'll continue to sip on this Game of Thrones beer and Mark will be back in saddle again.
I'm right back in saddle with my... assless chaps.
He actually is wearing those, which is kind of gross because it's on my couch.
Right, but, all over his couch. He's going to have to get some Febreze after this.
Nice. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Mark. Stay tuned for next week and please never forget to keep it brutal. I feel so coming to power.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.